Thank you for joining me today. And if you have your Bible next to you, you'll want to open it to the New Testament book of Luke in chapter 8. We'll start today at verse 40. The power of God, our focus, is in Jesus. And in this chapter, we've already read about Jesus calming a storm and casting out a legion of demons. And now he will heal a bleeding woman in a remarkable way. And this keeps getting better and better. Jesus will raise a little girl from the dead. And he does all of this in one chapter of the Bible. And this is written by Luke, as well as other gospel writers, Matthew and Mark. But just before we move forward in Luke 8, I want to tell you, or remind you, for those of you who already know, that Luke was a medical doctor. And how do we know that? The Apostle Paul tells us this. Luke was his close companion, personal physician, and brother in Christ. And listen to what Paul tells the saints at the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings. There you have it. Luke was a medical doctor. And since Luke is a doctor, the emphasis in his writing is on healing power. Are there any doctors or nurses, surgeons listening today? Then surely you can relate to having a great curiosity when it comes to one who can heal merely by being touched, and one who has the power to bring back from the dead a little girl, this one being Jesus. We write about what is of interest to us, and Dr. Luke does the same. He gives a perspective as a physician here that is different from Matthew and Mark, but just as valuable and fascinating, and of course, because this is the very Word of God. Oh, how Luke must have marveled at Jesus' healing power. And in the stretch of Luke 8 that is now before us, we have two interlocking stories, one that interrupts the other. Let me just outline this for us as I start reading. In Luke 8, verses 40 to 42, a man appeals to Jesus to heal his sick daughter. But as Jesus is on his way to visit the man's daughter, a woman who has been dealing with incessant bleeding interrupts in her own unique way. That's in verses 43 to 48. Jesus stops to deal with her before eventually moving back to fulfill the first person, the man's initial request. And that is in verses 49 to 56. You'll hear about this now as I read, and I will read Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 44. This is Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 44. And I will insert a few comments after the first verse. And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. Jesus returned from where? Well, he came back from the country of the Gerasenes. If you were with us last time, then you know all about what Jesus did there. He delivered a man from a legion, as many as 6,000 demons who had taken up residence in his body. But after performing this power miracle, they asked Jesus to leave, and so he did, and hence Jesus returned back to the other side of the lake. And the people have been waiting for him. He's welcomed back. Okay, but back to my reading at verse 41. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore Jesus to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as Jesus went, the crowds were pressing against Jesus. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And I'll stop there for now. Do you see what I mean about interrupting stories? Now, this provides an interesting little challenge to the Bible teacher. Do I focus on Jesus' healing of the woman first? And then move on to deal in total with Jesus' response to Jairus' request? Or should I talk with you about Jesus and Jairus' daughter first, and then circle back to the woman who had a hemorrhage? I pondered this and decided. What do you think I decided? If only I could hear you guess. I decided to highlight Jesus' power in the healing of the grown woman first, and then later this week to deal with the young girl. Did you guess right? Still, do not lose sight of the plea from this man, Jairus, for his daughter. Notice that he fell at Jesus' feet. Notice that his girl is only 12 and she is his only child. And furthermore, she is dying. Oh, she's real sick. If you have children, then you know that when they are sick, you worry. But imagine that you only have one child and that daughter or son of yours is near death. Wouldn't you also beg at the feet of Jesus? But listen to the tail end of verse 42. But as Jesus went, the crowds were pressing against Jesus. And that's where we dig in today, because according to verse 43, somewhere in that crowd is a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. Let's talk about her, even though we're never given her name. That's interesting. Ah, yes, the anonymous men and women of faith. One day, all of us who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, shall meet this woman. But until then, we do not even know her name. As Dr. Luke would have noted, this woman was what doctors call a tough case. And there is something that is obvious to even a casual reader of the Bible about her problem, but there is something not at all obvious about what plagues her. What's clear is that she's hemorrhaging blood, and this has been her condition for 12 years. By the way, that's the same age as Jairus' daughter, verse 42. 12 years is a long time to suffer from such an affliction, and no one can heal her. The doctors have provided no relief. You see that or hear that in the text, right? But what you also need to know is that this affliction not only was detrimental to the woman physically, but also socially. Those who knew about her condition would have treated her as an outcast. And that is why she is hiding in the crowd. She's trying to be anonymous. As a Jewish woman, she was considered ceremonially unclean according to Jewish law. This is what is written about clearly in our Old Testaments. Listen to Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, chapter 15 and verse 25. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 25 says, "Now if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, not at the period of her menstrual impurity, or if she is a discharge beyond that period, all the days of her impure discharge, she shall continue as though in her menstrual impurity. She is unclean." So, in keeping with the law, this woman would not have been allowed to worship God in the temple. She is unclean. Furthermore, if we keep reading in Leviticus, we learn something else applicable to this woman in Luke chapter 8. Listen now to Leviticus chapter 15 and verses 26 and 27. "Any bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her like bed at menstruation. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, like her uncleanness at that time. Likewise, whoever touches them shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and be unclean until evening." Not only is she unclean, but anything she sits on is also considered unclean, and whoever touches this woman is considered to be unclean also. So, by consulting the Old Testament, we can now see how much this woman was affected, not only physically, but also socially. Once we understand that which is not obvious, Jewish law, now we know more about her situation. Also, you should know that Matthew and Mark give us further detail about her, but I will not take you to those texts today. But you can read about what they say on your own in your Bible. The point I'm making here is that this woman is helpless. However, listen carefully, she does have something that proves she is not hopeless. She has faith in Christ. Yes, faith. This is the key. Listen to verse 44. "She came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped." The fringe of Christ's cloak would have been one of the tassels sewn onto Jesus' garment. Again, we need to consult our Old Testament, and this time the book of Numbers. I'll read Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 40. "The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God.' Jesus fulfilled the law and wore the tassel that this woman had touched. And the moment she touches the fringe of his cloak, she is healed. The Bible says immediately her hemorrhage stopped." Immediately. When Jesus heals, he heals instantaneously. Nobody else could ever provide healing to her body, but Jesus does. No wonder Dr. Luke is so interested in this. Jesus does what the doctors could never do. And the woman felt it. She knew what Jesus had done, and the Lord felt it. He knew that he had healed this woman who had been hemorrhaging the blood. Let's proceed down to a compelling exchange between Jesus, the woman, and the disciple Peter as the crowd looks on. This is now Luke 8 in the first part of verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" This, of course, seems like an odd question. Jesus, you're standing in the middle of a huge throng of people. Verse 42 of Luke 8 says, the crowds were pressing against Jesus. And so it would be natural in a crowd of this size for someone to have bumped into the Lord. So why is he asking such a thing? As with everything Jesus does, he has a purpose for his question, and we shall come to that tomorrow. And all of this we do in the context of the power of God. Luke 8 paints for us quite the scene, doesn't it? Jesus has gone to the land of the Gerasenes by boat and cast out a legion of demons. Then, because he was asked to leave that territory, he gets back in the boat and comes to the other side of the lake where the people are waiting for him. When they see Jesus, they begin to press against him. And in that swelling, pressing, and crushing crowd, Jesus claims that someone touched him. How can it be someone? Surely many people bumped into him, and yet Jesus has one person in mind. I'll end with this. The word pressing in verse 42 there literally means choking. It's the same word used back in Luke 8, verse 14, in Jesus' parable about weeds choking out the wheat. Pressing, choking. And yet Jesus stops and asks his question, "Who is the one who touched me?" We'll find out why he asked this right back here tomorrow. So join me then, for God is...